Edirol. E-D-I-R-O-L. Edirol. Right? And it'll be listed on an upcoming page, too, for you folks. I'm going to do more on hardware with you folks. And actual, the process of how to do recordings, what you need to get, how you make decisions, thinking about curriculum, the whole thing. I'm expecting you know what a podcast is. You have an idea. It's an audio recording, been put up on the web, and it's automated in its delivery. Okay, that was the first session that we did. So we're going to start this recording. This is our second session at NIACE up in fabulous Albany, New York. And this is an episode of Transformation Education Live and Teachers Podcast. I'm in New York, Albany at NIACE. This is Dr. Kathy King. And we have packed into the room about 200 people ready to go. Ready to go into the next phase, ready to go into the orbit of podcasting and education. These are the diehard. Please make room for each other, pushing and shoving. We will post this on the web. Yeah, you know, we have to. We might have to get crowd control, Regina. Okay.
Okay, Kathy, I got it.
All right, thank you. All right.
I'm taking tickets at the door.
All right. And we are...
Okay, thanks, Alex.
We're very excited because we are adult educators. We love to work with adult learners. Let's hear it for adult education. Okay. Session goals, we're going to be focusing particularly on planning lessons for using with podcasting, thinking about where would this technology fit in? Why might I want to be thinking about using this? And the fact that you're at the session, I think, means you have an idea. We're going to talk about a typology that my co-author and co-host Mark and I developed, and that's kind of listed there. We're going to be talking about what's involved in designing scripts, how we actually do that, and what we've learned from a lot of experience in this. I'm going to show you how you can create and record and edit audio files. I'm going to show you what it means to export one and actually put it up on the web. Soup to nuts. We're going to see that in the next 2 hours, okay? With a couple of options as to how you might go about doing it. From no cost to minimal cost to big bucks, if that's the way you want to do it, because you're professionally producing something that's going to be put out there and featured on ABC News and NPR and everything else, okay? But we're also expected to have an exciting time of hands-on podcasting, because I've got a couple of devices I'm going to hand around for you to do some recording yourselves. Did you know that?
No, that's good.
Okay, all right. So what are some of the possibilities with podcasting? I've listed a few here that I've mentioned before. You've got the global reach. Like I said this morning when we started podcasting, our first goal was, can we do this? We think it has potential for teaching and learning. And to our great surprise, we've reached over 4 million people at this point. It archives content, so then it's later searchable. It's 24/7 availability. It's scalable. What I do here is not confined to just the 200 people in this room. Right? Everybody around the world will have an option, if they have internet access, to be able to get to it. And if they don't, I can send them a CD or an MP3 player with a recording on it. Okay? I only have to do it once. And it's scalable. Repurposing content. Fabulous idea. But there's some implications there. You also have the possibility, which I know our friend here is interested in. She was mentioning it Saturday to me. So this is an updated slide. Uniform content delivery. What other aspects of this do you see? What about learning styles and other issues? What about other benefits? What is it that's drawing you to this idea of podcasting in education? Alex?
And learners come and go all the time. They miss a lot of classes.
Oh, excellent.
This is an easy way for me to make up whatever we do.
There you go, filling in the gap. So if you keep track of what you've done, right, then they can go in. Yeah. Students can access it from home, the library, etc.
In theory, they could be gone a month or so and still, you know, easily catch up.
student responsibility can be increased, right? Right? Decreasing barriers. Very good. Oh, I like that. Okay. What else?
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I'm doing this is because my students, I teach them home study, and they can't come to the class because of their children or their jobs or whatever, and they can do this at whatever time they have. So it can be this one student can do it at this time, but other students can do it at a different time.
Yes. So anybody remember what we call that specifically? When you change the time that you're listening to it. Anybody know the term for that? It's a technical term. What? Almost. Time shifting. Time shifting. Alex was talking about place shifting. Okay? So they're in different locations. And you're, what's your name?
Chris.
Chris? Chris is mentioning time shifting. Okay? We're a time shifting society. We've been doing it with our VCRs a long time, right? What about being able to apply that to learning?
Well, I think for myself, we're working with out-of-school youth to be able to bring learning to a technology that the kids will have already and make it something they're familiar with. They would probably be more likely to use that technology, and I'm looking at it as an add-on, you know, like after they leave the class. To be able to go over a lesson or to, you know, if they're having difficulty with something, it can be reinforced on their own time. And it looks cool. It doesn't look like they're sitting there, you know, being nerdy, you know.
Yeah, they can even rock out. Right? Right? They can even rock out as they're doing their homework. Nobody needs to know. It's not music they're listening to, but it's a vocabulary list. They can make believe that they're listening to music. Their friends don't need to know they're studying. I love it. Camouflage. Camouflage learning. But that's why I use that phrase, capture, right? Because we're capturing their interest, their desire to be involved with this digital media, and taking that and saying, let's take that for teaching and learning and put teaching and learning in a more attractive environment for them so they'll more often engage in it. That's a powerful aspect. You know, that's what we as adult educators are constantly trying to do with our learners of different ages, different contexts, different needs. How can we make it the most accessible? That's really what that's about. It's about accessibility. You're breaking down different barriers for them. And for them, it's cultural barriers of types. What else? Why else are you thinking about doing this? What is it that's appealing to you with it?
I told you on Saturday I wanted this for staff development. We're looking to get our GED training onto something like this so that...
the recertification, right?
Well, for recertification, exactly, because we still want you to come for the basic if you're brand new. But the whole thing about managing a GED test site, for example, could be done even if you're brand new on a podcast. The only thing you really need to come to Albany or go anywhere for in training when we do the training is the actual simulation of the test administration rules and regulations. But the rest of the stuff about shipping and signing the contract, really, you can read that or listen to it again on a podcast. So I want to be able to use this with Dr. Mooney and Kimberly to come up together with a script and put what we do currently onto a podcast and or Moodle on the web, something, so that people can look at it and review it if they have to, or see it and learn because they have to do the recertification, or just have it available at their fingertips. And then if we can record the training we're going to do in June, we can try to work it that it's always the same. So it's not changing if I'm not there or changing if Kimberly's not there, but the content will always be there and
consistent.
Cover everything we need to do so we can be sure we haven't forgotten anything. Because currently we don't have enough staff to do that.
Then you could take the script and put it in different languages if you needed to for various reasons. You could port it out and have it available 24/7. A lot of capabilities with that. And if people don't have internet access, you could have CDs if that absolutely wasn't a need, right, as well.
Set it up through the library system.
Set it up through the library system, right. Okay. So there's a lot of possibilities here as to how this can be used. We were talking about in an earlier section about learning styles, that combining podcasting is audio. It can also be video. You can combine the audio with PowerPoints that they're watching or handouts that they're getting off the web to go along with the audio, audio to supplement the text that they're reading or the work assignment that they're doing with you. lot of different ways to do this. So you're plugging into different learning styles and different modes of learning as well to reinforce, right? How many times if we can bring the message over and over. And also learning disabilities, right? Addressing the learning disabilities. Right.
Absolutely.
So what particular groups would that address?
Well, I think that anybody who had, you know, who you were working with, especially in the ABE classes, it would be great for them to have, like you were saying, reinforcing activities, because they may be embarrassed to keep on asking for you to repeat or to go over or to go slower or something this way. If you had something on there that was individualized to them or on, let's say, on vocabulary or a math process or something that they could take home with and put it on, listen to it, go over it, be able to hear it as many times as they needed to, it would be less embarrassing for them.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. They wouldn't have to keep on.
Yeah, nobody's going to say to them, why didn't you figure this out yet? Why are we repeating it? Privacy. Where that was a key phrase that came up this morning. There's a privacy in being able to do this that's very important to adult learners. That's respect, right? We're giving them a greater realm of respect for their learning. Very critical pieces that a lot of times we haven't had that capability before. This is Teacher's Podcast. And if you go to this website, let me just show you. I realized this later talking to somebody. Let me show you what you find when you go to the Teacher's Podcast as an example of a podcast site. Because we're an educational podcast, we focused on not just the audio, but also the materials that you find on our site. And you'll see that we publish with every episode that we post, like I posted this Sunday morning at like 1 a.m. Because I'm nuts. We post show notes for every episode. So that's down the middle of the screen. And I discovered my cane is very useful as a pointer this morning. And so here's episode 16, and we published the show notes, and that gives a description, a title. Actually, if you click right here, the audio comes on. The show notes has a description, and it also has every link of every resource we talk about. And we also have built into our interface a setup.
Learn and Achieve, live from New York City, the co-host of Teacher's Podcast.
Who is that?
Mark Gurr and Dr. Kathy King bring you a special episode of the podcast.
The way we have this set up in this blog, I also have a player on the side, and this is all free. Free resources that you can set this up with. That's a whole other series that we could do of sessions. I put the show notes, all the links that we talk about, because we focus on resources for teachers. So they have the content, the links of material they could go to, and they can play it right there. Right here, this is actually a keynote presentation that we did by video. This is Hypertech, this one. All right, hold on with me. This regional school district in Canada wanted Mark and I to be the keynote speakers for 300 people, their first ever Technology Professional Development Day up in Palliser's Real Regional School District. They said, but we're going to do it by video conference. So we were the keynote speakers by video conference, and it's a pretty cool thing to do the keynote for the first ever Tech Day for 300 teachers, right? And so we were talking about key items in this journey of ed tech implementation and how to think about this, wrap your mind around it, and resources in it. And we thought, well, this is going to be a really profound, helpful basis for a lot of other people. Let's record it and also put it on the podcast so that other people can benefit from it. So when we did the video conference, we weren't just talking heads. We didn't think they wanted to stare at us for 30 or 40 minutes, and just these two gorgeous, but heads anyway. So we had a PowerPoint presentation that we would flip back and forth to. So they'd see us talking, and then they'd see the PowerPoint. So I put the PowerPoint up here as well. So you can open that up. It's actually in a PDF format. So So you just click it, open it, and you can watch that while we're talking. Okay? So it's very multimedia. This is unusual. We don't usually do our podcasts like this. But we're taking what we did for a globe, for an audience out there in Canada, that we designed knowing we were going to use it for this purpose. So we're speaking to a larger audience as well, trying to make it somewhat generic, but personalized at the same time. So that was part of our design and purpose in it. And we redesigned it while we also did the video conference. We also captured it in audio in order to be able to use it over here. This is all free resources that we had available to us. And I think this is kind of a little over the top example, but it's kind of exciting to see some of the possibilities we can do with it. It's not really high end. We didn't have to edit any video. Here's some of the links, some of the things that we're talking about in the podcast: Partnership for 21st Century Skills, Mabry Online, Small Voices, Voices of the World. And so as we talk about them, we say, this is the link, but we're also going to have it in the show notes, because it's hard to write it down when you hear it auditory. So people come here and they just click it and they go to what we were talking about. Some podcasts you listen to in iTunes don't have a full-fledged show notes site like this. I think for education, this is very important, right? This is an important side. For your students, what sort of material could you put in the companion site to go with your audio? Pages in the text. These pages correspond with the audio. Okay, what else? Links that they might want to go to look up things, or articles that they would want to read. Okay, what else? How about their homework handouts? In case they lose it, they can just, you could scan it in or make a copy, put it in, and they could download and print it again. What's that? Vocabulary lists, all right? Puzzles, different things that you would have, sheets for them, worksheets that they could just print out and do, either if they were remote students, distance ed, right? Or if they were face-to-face students, you have an option. If they forget to bring it home, they need another copy, they messed it up, they lost it, whatever, then you have a built-in. It also, think about how this organizes your delivery of your courses. So while our friend here, Chris, is teaching distance ed, you might be teaching face-to-face, but as you start to use podcasts and create a base with your blog, right, with your podcast or a website or whatever you're using with it, you can set up a free one very easily, you're going to have web-enhanced courses. You're not going to be distance ed, but you're going to have web-enhanced. So instead of pulling out your notebook with your lecture notes for every semester and reorganizing those and updating and changing around, you're going to have a basis on the web. Here's lesson one. Here's the materials. I want to add this. I want to add that. That didn't work well. Put this in. And the students access it. They can leave comments, submit their materials there. Then you go to week two, and here's the material for that. So just like you had your master notebook for your lessons, right, that we have as teachers, the same thing. You can have a master electronic basis for what you're doing. It really can change the way you organize your instructional preparation as well. It can kind of like push it to another level and make it more dynamic for you. You don't have to print out all the web pages. You don't have to keep searching for all those links and everything. You just copy and paste them right onto the page. You follow what I'm saying there? That's been a dramatic change for me in my teaching. You know? What's that?
Very nice, very convenient.
Very convenient. Plus, you're not schlepping that notebook everywhere and you left it there, you left it. Get online and you're at your class. Right? You've got your materials. All right? You can make it password protected, etc. Okay, so this is one of our podcasts. That's what it looks like. Additionally, if you go up in this box, there's a search box up in the side. And if I put in literacy, it will give me every episode that Kathy and Mark talked about literacy in. There's the archivability and searchability capability. See that? Now, Kathy and Mark have, between their different series, 160 episodes. You don't have to keep going through looking for the episode you want. It's searchable. That's powerful for your students, right? Everything you record becomes automatically part of your database if you use a blog system like this. Okay? Very powerful.
Now, is there a way like that students can communicate with you on that? Like,
yes, they can leave comments with me. They can also click a button and email me. It opens up their email program. I've built in any number of ways for them to interact. This is a strange little one. There's a lot of sources out there for free online phone numbers that you can create. This one reverses the call. If they call me, they don't have to pay a dime even to place the call. They click this. This is brandcentral.com. Hold on to your socks, all right? Can you reach down? Hold your socks. This is weird. All right? Thinking? Okay. You with me? I'll show you. Okay, it says my name. And it wants my phone number. And it says, call me? What? I put in my phone number there for them to leave me a message. They put in their name and phone number. It dials them. And they hear, hello, this is Teacher's Podcast. We're so glad you called. What? I called? You called me? What? And please leave us a message. We're happy. You want to leave us a message? Leave us a message and we might play it on the show. Let us know what you're interested in. Thank you very much. Bing. And they can leave us a message. But they didn't have to pay for the outgoing call. Okay? Which might be nice for some of your students. You get that? It's a really weird setup. There's a lot of them. Call KALL8.com. You can set up a free phone number. Post your phone number on there, and they can call. You can even call this number, 201-693-4935. That's a free number we created on call8.com. And leave us a message. It saves it in a digital phone box online. We can download it, listen to it, and play it on the air. Free.
If you're not anywhere where your phone is when you put it in.
You put whatever phone number you're in.
At the moment.
Yeah.
It has to be immediate.
Yeah. Yeah, it calls you within like 10 seconds. Yeah. That's a very interesting one because you don't even pay the outgoing call. You know, it's an incoming. This one, but these are all free. So there are ways to set up free phone numbers for incoming calls and to have personalized voicemail boxes for your programs, for receiving student information that they need from you or requesting information. Feedback is a very important aspect of online learning and what we're doing with our distance, with our podcast listeners. We're trying to create learning communities with them. You see also at the bottom of each posting for our podcast, you not only can play the podcast here, but you also have this little screen that shows up, listen to the podcast, and you just click that and it plays it as well. That's how this particular site works. This is a WordPress site.
Welcome to Teacher's Podcast, episode...
Okay, that's the way that one works. It's just click and play. Over here on this side of the screen, you have the capability, and most sites are set up like this, that you can click iTunes. Right here, it says iTunes. If you click iTunes, if you have iTunes on your computer, it opens up iTunes and subscribes you to our podcast so that you receive all the updates. If you don't have iTunes on your computer, it asks you if you want to download it for free. So you can build that right into your site. Let me show you one better. You ready for something even better? How about a real exciting possibility for your classes? Talking Financial Literacy, our newest podcast from Mark and Kathy. We got a grant from McGraw-Hill Companies for this one. Oh, that didn't take us there. Bad link. Let's go up here. TalkingFinlit.org. This is a little bit different design, but you're going to see it's the same sort of thing. It's a blog setup. What is a blog?
Weblog. Weblog.
Right, a weblog. Yeah, it includes conversation. It's the easiest kind of website to edit. Okay, the easiest kind of website to edit. And it's written to update and post comments and post announcements to easily. Okay, so there are all these different templates. You can set up a blog at blogspot.com. That's part of Google now. WordPress.com. That's a free one too. You can set up these blogs very easily. And they have templates so that they have the different backgrounds. This is a different background that I chose for this one. And we created our own logo for it. This is our first episode of Talking Financial Literacy. See the same thing, you've got the player for the multiple episodes, the player for the individual. You've got the logo, you've got categories, the iTunes link.
Welcome to Talking Financial Literacy Podcast, Episode 1. This episode is introduction to the new world of talking financial literacy.
Okay, but there's something different on this site that's built into this particular template that I really like. It's a widget that's available. You can add it to a couple of others. Translators. Spanish, German, and French. It's not going to translate my voice, but it is going to translate the whole page into another language. So you know how sometimes with a grant or something, you have to be able to provide your material in multiple languages? Look at that. Suddenly, we have a Spanish podcast. Show notes. My fingers never left my hands when I did that. Is that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That's powered by Google. All right? The back. Blogspot.com. That's a widget in the background that's able to do that, that you can load up as well. But what do you think of that translation capability? Does that have possibilities for your students? Look at what you.
Are you kidding me?
Why is that?
We can put the handbook up there and translate it in Spanish.
There you go. Yep. Immediately, right? You think
yep.
It's
French too, so.
Yep, German, French, and Spanish. There you go. Yeah. How would you see, Regina?
ESL students, absolutely.
Right. Because they can go back and forth. Not that they're always going to use their language, right?
But especially for things like doing introductory things where you just have a new student and you want to make them a little more comfortable. It would be nice to have at least the welcome or something in their own language and then, you know.
Yeah. Be able to go back and forth.
Right.
And then as they're learning, they can see the assignment in English. What does that mean exactly?
Right.
I'm not sure. Go back over. Be able to come back. Right? So, yeah. I think that has a lot of possibilities. But you see, here we have the same thing set up. We're talking about, we're telling you what we're going to cover in this episode. And then we give you the links for everything that we talked about in the episode. Here's some different articles that we talked about from CNN Money and different areas. We say every article that we're just mentioning them in passing, but they'll all be posted on the website so you can go read the entire article. So you've got full supplemental materials to be able to follow up. This can be the basis for teacher professional development. Take the Talking Financial Literacy series and be able to use that with teacher professional development as you're trying to bring that into a program. Right? What you're doing on adult ESL, you know, you might have a master teacher develop their classes and then be able to show it to the other teachers. This is how I'm doing it. This is how my classes are laid out, the different materials that I use. So you can increase collaboration among your teachers as well in this environment. I think that can be a powerful model for us in adult ed. We don't do enough of that in historically in schools, I don't think. Teaching tends to be an isolated role. We already covered this. Finding digital content. So we've been talking about kind of a mixture of things, but right now you can find existing content and add that, use that as a basis for where you're starting with your students, where you're starting with your teachers, and also just to sample things and say, what do I want to sound like? What sort of format do I want to have for my podcast? What do I want to sound like? There's all sorts of formats. You can do a talk show. You could do a traveling history. You could do historical narrative. You could take on a different personality, a persona, in order to deliver your podcast to your students. A lot of math professors seem to do that. They become Dr. Math Geek or this or that for some reason. Science professors, science teachers seem to do that. You're laughing. But there's all sorts of possibilities as to the way that you could format your show. It might be a panel, it might be an individual, it might be a lecture, it might be a dialogue, it might be interviews. So you sample some of the different things out there, possibilities. iTunes is one podcast directory. There's 130 other podcast directories or more. These are some of the prominent ones. Many of these also provide, not iTunes, but many of the others also provide the option to host your podcast for free. Set up a free account, fill in the blanks, and that becomes your home page. That's where you put your show notes. That's where you upload your file. That's where your podcast lives. So you don't have to create your own blog from scratch. Okay? You're part of a network. You're, in fact, syndicated. Kind of wild, all right? That's where it lives, in that location. Then you go to the other directories, including iTunes, and you say, hey, world, I have a podcast. Here's my address. And you give them the URL, the web address for your podcast, the name and the description. And all of those databases, that's what they really are, will now know about your show. They will all point back to your original location. I showed you our original location for Teachers Podcasts and Talking Thin Lit. But we're listed in about 100 podcast directories. They all point to that same place. If you do a free account, there's a limit. But if you invest as much as $5 a month, you get much more space. Go up to $20 a month, you've got more space than you would ever use unless you're doing video every week. Okay? So we're looking at, when I started off, we started on a free account with a $5 mic and an available computer. We ratcheted it up a year later to a $5 a month account. Woohoo! We kicked it up. Right? That was our big investment. Then we got a mixer, and we added some more mics and some different things as we went along because we were doing more production. But we saw if it was going to work for us, if there was benefit, you know? We've started a lot of projects. They didn't work for us. You know, this one really has a lot of depth to it. This is iTunes. This is an example of where you can find resources and material. Basic approach I have to creating digital content for podcasts is this. Focus on content, do your recording, and then publish it. Publish means put it out on the web on a feed. Those are the three steps. Content, record, publish. Okay? Our book, Podcast for Teachers, provides depth in this. We're going to be doing more work in this area. Planning podcasts. Focusing on content. as far as what you want to accomplish, what format you want to do, how you're going to go about it. Most people that do podcasts, unless they're speaking on radio or they've been doing podcasting for a long time, use a script. I don't use a script. Can you imagine me using a script? I don't use a script, okay? A lot of you probably wouldn't use a script as a teacher. Your students probably would. There's a lot of benefit in them developing a script if they're doing a student-created podcast. Look at the many different layers of activity and learning you can build into developing a script. Researching it, writing it, maybe collaborating it on it, editing it with you, rewriting it, the whole writing process. But what's the big difference between writing an essay and writing this script? When you get to the end product, what's the difference? The whole world's going to get to hear it. Not only are they going to have voice, they're going to have voice without quotes. They're keenly aware of that. I did this with some students in my college. This semester I gave them almost no instruction on how to do podcasts. I gave them the possibility, the option of doing podcasts for an assignment. They got so psyched up and excited. They did so very well at it. Plus, they started emailing it to all their friends and family. They were so excited about what they'd accomplished. They were ready to do the next assignment. And other students in the class were like, they did it, I can do it. I didn't know it was that easy. I can do this. You know, so then it charged up other people to be able to take on the challenge and the risk of it. They did so much more work to do that assignment as a podcast, but they were so much more excited and invested on in it. You know? They totally got it. It brought a whole other dimension, and they were passionate about what they were doing with it. This was an exciting, stimulating course that you might remember as educators, Foundations of American Education. History, philosophy, remember that? Okay. Not one of your top 10, probably, unless you were a philosophy major. Okay? But they were impassioned about it because of the way we were going at the they were creating digital content for the world. Okay? I'm going to show you some more of that later. Okay. What are your ideas about student projects or teacher-created projects? What would you be doing if you created a podcast for education? What are you thinking about at this point? Talk to me. Yes?
Well, I have an idea that
there you go. And they would love to share their experience and have their voice out there. So if let's run with that. What's some sort of formats? What's your name?
Deborah.
Deborah could do with her students to get them involved and to build their ESL skills. What would be a possibility?
Their autobiography.
Ah, their autobiography or their experience in the program, okay? Right? How would you work that out? They have to propose a topic, draft it, right? Go through the whole writing process, then go through the scripting, recording. Then you string them together so you have a variety of voices. You don't put them all in one recording. You have an episode, this is Mary, this is Louisa, this is Rayo, this is, right? And you get to click on all the different voices of people in the program to tell their story. And you tell them how long they have. You have 3 minutes or 4 minutes. You have to tell your story in that amount of time. You could later on, as another project, add pictures to it, right? Their photo, if they wanted to do that. Okay? But you're building a huge ownership into it. What other benefits would you get out of that for her students and her program? An ownership by the students, right? Visibility where?
Everybody.
Right, by the world, by the community, in the state, right? The visibility of the program. What else? What's that?
I think it would draw more people in the community who speak Spanish, and we were talking about the reputation of Spanish. There's not a lot of Spanish speakers go to our Spanish page on the website, like this might, by word of mouth.
There you go.
Your classes would be overwhelmed, and you have millions of students.
Yeah, your classes are going to get overrun. You're going to have too many students.
Good advertising.
Good problem to have, right?
Free publicity,
yes. Okay? Because they're going to be sending that out to everybody. One of the problems with the World Wide Web is that it's English dominated. So if you put things out there in other languages, talking about your programs, talking about success, I hadn't even thought of this, talking about the success of your programs, the student experiences in other languages, you're going to come up in searches so fast. One, you're talking about student experience. Two, you're using other languages. Okay? That's going to really come up in different areas.
In terms of the assignment, anything that you can ask them to write about, even without a photo or a piece of art or anything, descriptive and talk about.
Exactly, right. We're continually, when we ask students of all ages to write, it's how do you come up with a topic? How do you get them invested in a topic? This, not only they're talking about themselves, but they have a worldwide audience. That works with students of all ages. I tell you, five-year-olds are very keenly aware of having a global audience with this. Yes?
I have a lot of students that come down and their families.
Yes, exactly. This is a tremendous way to tie together family members into what you're doing in the classroom and get that real circle.
It'd be a way to share the fictional stories of how they came to the United States.
Exactly. There you go. Fictional? Yeah.
For worldwide distribution, probably fictional would be good.
Yes. That's good. That's good. Yes. Yeah, because that brings up another point. Worldwide distribution means you're not speaking in an isolated room. So what you say, either you have to protect your identity and use an alternate name and not show a picture, or be willing to take consequences of putting out that information under your name. So that's a whole other opportunity for discussion with adult learners. Tremendous opportunity for critical thinking, citizenship, responsibility, civic awareness, right? All tremendous lessons that we're constantly trying to get across, but now we have an authentic platform to do that in. You could just go in so many directions with this, couldn't you? Right? Okay, so how could we record? The ways that I'm thinking at this point for recording really are primarily handheld device like the Etirol or my little MP3 player that I have around here, or even taking an iPod and putting a microphone on it. Okay? Or you take a computer and you put a microphone on it. Microphone could only be $5. Or an all-in-one place might be where you want to start just for your teachers. Like Podomatic. Okay? I'll tell you about that. The software you use is free that you would start off with. Audacity is free. Here's the website, audacity.sourceforge.net. It's free software, Mac, Windows compatible. You download it, and this is where you record and you edit. So even if I record on an external device, I then plug it in and I can edit. What's that? Oh. Audacity, AUDACITY dot sourceforge.net. The easiest way to find that is just in Google, go Audacity, download free. Yep. Pretty easy to download and use, right?
How
It keeps saying it needs MP3 files.
I'll show you that.
So since I don't have MP3 files, I haven't been able to use it, but I do have it downloaded. So.
Yeah. It needs a converter that you have to download. This is Podomatic.com. You go on here, you set up a free account, you plug in your little microphone, like something like this, right? You plug in this, and you hit the big red button that says record, and you start talking, and it records right online without even the Audacity software. Records online, click stop when you're done, saves it online, turns it into a feed, you're live. All you've had to do is put in your title and your description. Podomatic is not the only one that does this. There are other ones as well. Okay? I call this an all-in-one podcasting solution.
What if you don't want to publish immediately?
Yeah, you can put it into a draft. Right.
Can you save it also to the computer?
I think you can. You can certainly download it later. Yep. Okay. Making choices, discussion of costs, benefits, pros and cons. This device is about $120. It's a digital recorder, very nice Olympus recorder. This is the Eterol, about $300. Recorder, this is a cheap microphone, about $5. I have expensive microphones, about $500. No, my most expensive is $200, but they go up to thousands. Most of mine are about $50. This doohickey, did I have this last year? This is a double-headed lapel mic. Look at this little guy. This is $50. But how wonderful for doing interviews. So I take this little rascal, and I have it hooked up here. He hooks up one over there because maybe I don't have really good external mics on my inexpensive recorder, digital recorder. And then I plug it into one mic plug. And I've got two personal mics. $50. Is that amazing? I was so thrilled when I found this. You've got to be a geek to love something like that, right? But this picks up wonderfully. You've got to put it a little bit away so you don't hear the short moving and your breathing and everything. But you get great sound because most digital recorders, if you put it on the table and you've got two people speaking, you're not going to pick them up real well. Okay? Or if you're in a room or something. But this allows you to pick up two people very well, even with a $40 recorder. And he doesn't have to sit in my lap. It's nice long cords.
What's the name of that?
That's a two-headed lapel mic.
What's the name of the guy that carries it?
Go to my website and you see a link for it. And there's only one place. These are custom made. There's only one place that sells it. And you've got a weird name. Something like the frog guy or something like that. Another podcaster told me about these. I think these are tremendous for doing research and interviews out in the field. I think they're great for working with adult students so you can pick up their voices and they can work in pairs. And you can use an inexpensive device and get very good sound with that. That's a great device. Yep.
Are those just like standard digital recorders like you might record?
Best Buy.
For any purpose, it's not specific.
Like this?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. You just want to make sure that it has a capability of either saving in WAV, W-A-V, or MP3 files. If it saves it in something else, it can be very tricky in order to convert it back and forth all the time. So WAV, MP3, or an easy software that's going to convert it for you. So if it's something else, you want to look at the software that comes with it. It usually comes with a little CD. Okay, so you want to do a test run on this. Podomatic, like I described, same thing with your laptop computer. You can use this because, you know, the mic is down in here. Two people talking like this at the computer, you know. So you take a two-headed microphone, plug that into my front of my computer. You sit over there, I sit over here, and we can talk together and co-host the podcast. Okay? Without having to get a mixer for $50 or $300, microphones for $50 a piece, $15 a piece for the cables, set it all up, hook it up, feed it in, the whole thing. $50, two people talking together. Three people, then Kathy's always difficult. I have a Y adapter. Sandy, sorry. I have a Y adapter. Yep. I have a Y adapter that has one plug and two. So you can put four people, two over here and two over there. Yep. Good idea. Yeah, you're always pushing the envelope, giving me more ideas. I like that. Okay. Content, plan, record, publish. Focus on purpose and content, continuous improvement, and thinking about this as a journey. You're doing your first podcast. You're starting up. You're doing a draft run. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. This is GED Central. Sounding out to the rest of the world. Hello, world. Your test podcast, right? Delete it when you're done. Okay? So just try it out. Get out there and try it. But you've got to focus on making your choices, the type of content, how many people, planning it. Who are you trying to reach? This sounds just like lesson planning. Curriculum. It's the same thing. In fact, it's the same thing. We're thinking about the audience. We're thinking about their needs. We're thinking about how to reach them best. How do we use this media to get there? How do we parse our content to fit this medium? I'm talking voice. What else do they need on the web in order for this to work for them? Most people we're finding podcasts about 20 minutes long are very good. Ours are about 40 minutes long for teachers' podcasts. Finlit, we're trying to keep it about 30. Our listeners get angry if we cut them short because they really like Mark and Kathy. And they expect certain things in our shows. So we have a hard time of doing the shorter podcasts. But we're responding to our audience. So don't ever say, oh, the book says it has to be this. Baloney! You go by what the people you're serving need. What are they responding to? What are they telling you? How does it fit with the content?
If you're doing a lesson and you need to upload a picture, does this prompt you to have to do that? If you were doing a lesson on something else and you wanted to have an image uploaded from your computer, it would prompt you on this page?
Yep. 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 You'd be able to put that right in your description.
Kathy, can you do this on any website or is that
specific? No, you need to use one of these sites that I'm talking about for the podcasting, like blueberry.com, Podomatic, those different ones. They have to be able to serve up these MP3 files, spin the feed. They have to be able to set up an account for you. Okay. And so you need to have a host, a podcast host, to be able to do that. Okay. Built into your podcast host, it also keeps track of your stats, which has great implications for your programs, for grant funding, for sponsors, for you understanding what content your students are responding to best. You see which episodes they're listening to more. Okay? So that can help you with your continuous improvement. Let's take a break.
Okay? Hey, I'm going to ask everybody for their evaluation because I think they have this divided up.
Yep, they do. And we'll do a raffle at this point. I have a CD to give away. You have some more?
Just one more.